Good evening. I'm glad that you're here tonight for our gathering together as a church family this evening. We've had a great weekend. Amen. I just want to say a big thank you to several people. Benjamin, thank you so much for all of your hard work for months leading up to this weekend. I know sometimes you look at a thing like that and you think that just kind of with the wave of a hand, the snap of a finger, that comes together, but it takes a lot of thought, a lot of time, a lot of sweat, prayers, and toils and tears to put something like that together. And we just appreciate so much. And all the volunteers that helped in the effort. We had people everywhere doing their part to make sure that this thing came together. Herb did a masterful job leading us in song this morning. Amen. Fantastic job. And Andrew tonight, it's been fantastic as well. Appreciate you're leading us tonight so much. We're going to continue. We do have some visitors with us. We're grateful that you're here. And we're going to continue tonight with part number two of what we started this morning, along the lines of unstuck, finding fresh traction for your life. But before we get into that, let's begin with a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on our time together. Let's pray. Our Father, you reign supreme over this world. And we celebrate the fact that you are a God that is in control, but a God of tremendous compassion, love, mercy, and grace toward your human children. We are frail and we are weak. Some days we feel full of ourselves, too full. And some days we're brought low and we finally come to terms with our weaknesses and frailties. Help us, Father, to humble ourselves. Help us to celebrate our weaknesses. Because when we're weak, it is then that your strength can shine through. I pray, Father, that you would be exalted in this place by what we've done this weekend. And I pray, Father, that we have let our light shine in this community. I pray, Father, that you would help us to be ever more diligent in sowing the seed of goodness and grace in this place. Help us, Father, to represent you in a joyful and beautiful way, that people might be drawn to you because of the way we conduct our lives. We know, Father, that all the growth and all spiritual life comes from your Spirit. And so, Father, we resign ourselves and proclaim to you that all the growth of your kingdom is in your hands. And so we just pray that you would help us to be faithful in sowing the seed, in tilling the soil, in watering the ground. And I pray that you would help us to be faithful in that and to know that your word does not return to you void. Father, sometimes our efforts that we make, we feel sometimes as if they're small, even when we put our best effort forward. But we know, Father, that you do great things through the faithfulness of your people. You always have, and you always will. And so, Father, we look forward to the sprouting of the mustard seed. We look forward to the day whenever the birds of the heavens come and rest in the branches of the tremendous tree that you have caused to grow. And we just thank you for letting us do a part and be a part in your working in this world. And we pray that all glory would go to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we keep thinking about the idea of unstuck, tonight I want us to talk about the spark of life. Now, the reason that I want us to talk about this is because a lot of times, whenever we find ourselves in a place in life where we feel stuck, and we've all been there, sometimes it's because we find ourselves in circumstances of no fault of our own, but we just feel like we're victims of circumstance. Sometimes it's because we've just made mistake after mistake and we know why we're stuck, but we just don't know how to change things. But for whatever reason that you might feel stuck in life, sometimes the reason whenever we get in that place that we feel stuck because we feel like we have lost our purpose. We feel like we've lost focus. We've lost direction in what our lives should really be all about. And so being stuck in life sometimes has to do with losing the sense of your purpose. I think we get there at various times. Sometimes people call it a midlife crisis, or sometimes when you go through a major transition in life, whether it's going to college for the first time, or maybe it's having children for the first time, whatever that major shift in life is, sometimes you get in a place where you just kind of feel like the core of your identity is kind of shaken, and you don't really know who you are anymore, or what you're really about, or which way you should turn, or which way you should go. And so you begin to question what your purpose really is. And you feel stuck because of it. I think we're always on a perpetual search for what can put the spark back into life. Have you ever been in a place, and I think we all probably have been there at some point in time, where you just feel kind of at a place in life where the spark is gone, the drive, the passion, your enthusiasm for living has just been squelched, or it's been squashed. And so you're looking for something that can kind of reinvigorate the spark for life. Maybe that means you change careers. Maybe for some people, if they feel like they need to bail out of responsibility. Maybe their marriage or their obligation to their children, and they want to start fresh with a clean slate, and they think if they do, the spark will return. It might be buying that sports car you always wanted. And you think that'll do the trick. That'll bring the spark back. I think we're always looking for that thing that can reinvigorate us, that can help us to get out of the ruts of life where that we feel stuck in, where we're spinning our wheels and we can't get any traction. And so we're looking for something that can propel us and move us forward with a sense of intentionality and purpose. I think we're all looking for that. What we're talking about here is the age-old question of what is the meaning of life? We've always, as a human species, been asking this central question. And I guess we always will. Of late, the question has been asked quite a bit, and in an effort to answer that question, there was a very successful best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life, by Rick Warren. Some of you have perhaps read the book. And in that book, Warren tells the story of how he was watching television one day, and they showed a promotional commercial to tune in to the Oprah Winfrey Show, because on today's show, we're going to explore the purpose of life. And so that gets your attention, right? And so he, with great anticipation, sets the VCR to record this episode where they're going to explore and hopefully tell us all what the purpose of life is. And so with the videotape recorder recording and with great interest, Warren watches this television show, and he says, for an entire hour, they talked about a lot of things, and they ended each segment before going to the commercial break with the teaser, stay tuned. You know how they do, right? Because if you'll just hang on and keep watching this show, at the next segment, it's going to be revealed. And they kept doing that over and over again until they got to the end of the show with like 30 seconds left, when Oprah Winfrey looks at the camera and says, the purpose of life? What is the purpose of life? Well, you're going to have to figure that out for yourself. Look inside. And the show ended. A lot of people think if you can just look inside, if you can be reflective enough, if you can just dig deep within and kind of evaluate yourself and your situation and your circumstances, if you just think hard enough, if you do enough soul searching and you look deep within, you'll be able to figure it out what your purpose is. Well, that's nothing new. The philosophers of ancient Greece, you know, the heavy hitters, Aristotle and Plato and Socrates, I mean, you boil down a lot of the things that they were discussing and talking about, it all comes back in great part to trying to answer the question of what is life's meaning. Because all of us feel that stuckness, if that's a word, being stuck in a rut and needing some kind of mission statement for life that would propel us and give us fresh traction, renewed purpose for life. Well, it wasn't just the heavy hitters that discussed this. There were some big groups of philosophers in Athens, Greece, known as the Stoics. You can read about them even in your own copy of the Bible in Acts 17. But the Stoics were a group of philosophers who said, we believe that finding the purpose of life may really reside in a word that they used called logos. They used this word logos, and the word, this Greek word logos, they believed, they defined it as the universal principle, that there is a principle, a concept, somewhere in creation. That if we could unlock this one principle, this logos, this principle, is the very thing that animates all of life. That this concept, whatever it is what brings, moves life into motion. In fact, the word logos can be easily translated reason. That there is a reason or an original purpose. They called it the artistic fire. In fact, we might call it the spark of life. That there's somewhere, if we just think hard enough, if we just look deep within enough, if we just do enough philosophy, that somehow we can uncover the mystery of life. If we just evaluate long enough, we can discover that one principle, the logos, that one concept that is the spark of life. And this is what they were talking about in ancient Greece, long before Jesus came on the scene. What is the logos? Well, we all chase what the logos is. We all chase sparks, the thing that can reanimate and reinvigorate our lives. Sometimes when we try to chase the spark, it might be that we're trying to chase the spark of romance. But the question is, in romance, what happens when the spark is gone? What do you do then? Or in your career, what do you do when the spark has burned out? Or in education, what if you find out that your flame isn't as bright as you thought it was in comparison to everyone else's flame? What do you do then? Or what about even in religion? What do you do when you feel like your fire has been quenched? There's lots of different ways that we try to chase the spark. That thing that can redirect us and reanimate us and give us fresh traction and unstick us from the ruts of life. Well, that idea is what John capitalizes on when a follower of Jesus in the first century, the late first century, takes it upon himself to write down for us what a teacher by the name of Jesus of Nazareth began to teach in the ancient world. And John says, he says it this way. Let's start all the way back at the very beginning. We're talking about purpose here. What animated the world? What brought the world into motion? What gives fire to all life. In the beginning was, and John uses the word the ancient philosophers, the Stoics, used. In the beginning was the Logos. And so he's speaking to people that are not, have no knowledge of Jesus. He's speaking to the unchurched. He's speaking to those that were searching for the answer to life's mysteries. And he says, in the beginning, you're right, from the very beginning, there was a reason. There was the Logos. And the Logos was with God. And the Logos was God. And then here's what's interesting. He says, he. Rather than the Stoics believing that the Logos was an animating principle, John flips it and says, he, a personal pronoun, he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. All life began and continues because of the Logos, the reason. And the life was the light of men. Not only was it the animating force that gives life, but the Logos can illuminate your heart, can bring light of understanding and purpose to all humanity. You've been looking for that one idea, that principle, that concept that could unfold the whole reason why we're here and what can give you direction and purpose. John says, let me tell you, it's been here from the beginning. And everything was made through this idea. And life came into existence because of it. And it can illuminate your life. And this true light will give light to everyone. And it was coming into the world. It came down and was revealed, where it's no longer a secret, no longer a mystery. In verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Imagine for a second an artist that paints a beautiful masterpiece, and he paints this beautiful masterpiece to the point that he's so captivated by this masterpiece. And then imagine the artist stepping into his own painting. But as he steps into his own painting, his own characters that he created don't recognize him as the artist. That's precisely what happened. Verse 14, the Logos, this reason, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You see, what John is revealing here is that what the ancient philosophers were searching for, the Logos, the reason, the animating force, the spark of life, it is not a principle or a concept, but instead it's a person. It's Jesus Christ. And so life's purpose is not found by looking deeper within or somehow unlocking life's mysteries by sending a probe into outer space or by somehow studying deep enough the biology of life under a microscope. Life's purpose is found in a person that is to be encountered in a relationship. The Creator that made us is the one that animated life from the beginning, and He gives light and understanding to His people, and He came to this earth to visit us and invite us into a dynamic relationship with Him. Other philosophers, more recent than those ancients, have explored the same idea. The French philosopher Pascal once said, "The infinite abyss can only be filled by an infinite and immutable object, that is to say, only by God Himself." In other words, this philosopher came to the conclusion that no matter how hard you look, you are not going to be able to find purpose by chasing all the different sparks of life that offer a little bit of traction. Because you might get a little traction, but then you're going to find yourself spinning out again. The only thing that can really give traction and find something to unstick you from the sticking points of life is really only by a relationship with God Himself. Augustine, who was a Christian philosopher of sorts, said, "You have made us for yourself," speaking to God, "and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." Your heart will always be restless. It will always be unsatisfied. You'll always be empty and thirsty, looking for something that can scratch that itch that is within your heart, until your heart finally comes to rest in God Himself. Because you see, God in Christ Jesus is the Logos. He is the reason. He is the spark of life. And Jesus came to be the bearer of grace and truth, as we read tonight. He came to give this message of grace that the Creator God invites you to be in a relationship with Him. He's not a vengeful God in the heavens that somehow is sitting there just waiting to cast His wrath upon you. Not like some Zeus figure in the heavens waiting to throw down a lightning bolt like the gods of ancient mythology. But Jesus came to reveal a God that was full of grace and ready to extend it, but also full of truth. So no matter how numb you think your heart might be toward exploring the possibility that your thirst for purpose might really be quenched in God, I want to promise you tonight that if you will just let Jesus speak truth into your heart, He'll do it. If you just allow Him to. Open your heart to the possibility that what can really give you focus and purpose in life might just be God Himself. That's what John presents. In the beginning was the Logos, the Word, the reason, the spark of life. And it was with God, and it was God, and He was made flesh and dwelt among us and was the bearer of grace and truth. And He wants to bring light and life to you, to give you life that is more abundant than anything else that life can offer, to give you confidence, peace, and assurance that you are living the way you were designed to live. And so if you don't know Jesus, we'd like to tell you more about Him. He is the only thing that can move us from being unstuck to being on solid ground. If you need fresh traction, give Jesus a try. Open your heart to Him if you've not ever really done it. And we would like to tell you more. If you're interested, please see me after the service, and I'll talk to you more in the foyer. We'll find a time when we can set up a study to explore it more. If you need prayer, if we can help you in any way, won't you respond and let us serve you in any way that we can as we stand together and as we sing.